With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Well, good evening and welcome back to another live episode of Red Tinted Glasses here on the Red Tinted Glasses YouTube channel. And Callum, the Aberdeen wait for a trophy continues as a really disappointing 1-0 defeat to Rangers in the League Cup final yesterday consigned us to yet another final with nothing to celebrate. I thought the most depressing Monday of the year was supposed to come in January. Well, Callum, this one fairly runs it close.
Yeah, I'd say so. It's, I don't know, frustrated. That's Barry Robson's tagline most of the time. And I feel like that's very apt right now for how most Aberdeen fans are feeling. In all honesty, terrible game between two sides that I don't know if either really deserved to take a trophy home at the end of it. I think Rangers deserved a win, probably, but did they deserve to take a trophy home at the end of that after the shite we both served up? I'm not sure. It was terrible. It was awful. And I'm not happy.
You know, the quality of the final probably was up there with the quality of our last league final when we won it against Cali. It's a terrible game of football. Probably you can tell both teams were playing in Europe on the Thursday night. Of course, we are live tonight and, you know, we'll be giving our thoughts, and whether you agree on our thoughts or not, be sure to get involved in the comment section, because of course with this live podcast you can't interact during the show, and we will look to bring up as many comments as we can throughout the show and use them for some of the talking points that I'm sure there's going to be across the show, because of course coming up we will look back on the game as a whole, and of course Barry Robson's post-match comments before looking ahead to what feels like a big must-win game on Wednesday night at home to Livingston. But I'm sure Barry Robson feels like every game's must-win now, Callum.
I think so. I know you've certainly got a lot to say on his post-match press conference. I don't know. I'm trying to cheer myself up by just being like, we're going to get 12 points before the end of the year. I don't know if that's actually going to happen, but I don't know. I feel like I'm surprisingly not having as much of a meltdown as many are about Robson after that, and certainly you, Glenn.
I'm surprised how kind of mellow you are after that. But what was your... Obviously, I'm sure disappointment and anger, but what was your initial reaction come full time yesterday?
Just dejection, I suppose. I think I kept, even after they'd scored, I was just thinking, I kept saying it out loud, probably much to the annoyance of those around me. Just need one chance. I was trying to remain hopeful, but when that full time whistle went, I just felt dejected. All round, it was a terrible game. Aberdeen were pretty poor, I think it's fair to say. Rangers, not really much better. I think a couple moments of quality throughout the game from them, one including their goal. And yeah, I just sort of felt defeated. But I stayed to applaud the players before fucking off up the road, which in hindsight, bad idea, because we just ended up in even more traffic.
How you could have stayed for the full-time whistle is beyond me.
You were away, were you?
Oh, I heard the whistle being blown, but as soon as the melee was done and dusted, which we'll obviously come on to a little bit later on in the episode, that was me. I was just at the back waiting for the inevitable, and as soon as kind of you knew the goal kick or whatever it was that was going to get taken, the whistle was going to go, so I about turned and headed for the exit, because the one thing I did not want to see was them celebrating.
It wasn't a goal kick. It was I think it was the free kick, which when the foul occurs on the goal line, then they take it from the 18-yard box.
Yeah.
I mean, that about summed things up, I suppose, on the day from the referee.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I think I said last night on my own personal Twitter page that I gave Don Robertson man of the match for his performance. And I'm not going to sit here and blame the referee for the reason that we lost, because ultimately for me, I don't really think we as a team turned up. I think Barry Robson got a lot wrong. But a lot's been made of the fact that that's now one goal in our last seven finals, and kind of the mentality that maybe kind of comes. And obviously Barry Robson was saying that he felt that the team had a goal. Well, clearly me and Barry have a totally different understanding of the meaning of having a goal.
I think that's fair. I was disappointed with the second half in particular. First half, we sort of thought that it was going to be very cagey, certainly to open with. I think it was. There was no real quality. And I kind of thought the longer that goes on, maybe the better for us. And I was hoping sort of, you know, Rangers will tire a little bit more. They only made three changes from Thursday after we made eight changes. However, it just didn't look like it. I don't know what it was. There was something missing, something not clicking, and it was so poor throughout.
Well, it was the midfield for me that really didn't click. As you said, eight changes were made. Kind of the biggest kind of question mark we had in terms of the preview of the final was who was going to get the nod at centre back alongside Jensen and Gartenman. And for me, surprisingly, he went with Ruby. I thought he would have stuck with Angus McDonald. Were you surprised to see Ruby named in the starting 11? I'm not saying Ruby did anything wrong, because I thought he actually had a good game. Maybe want his involvement in the goal that we conceded. But I have to say I was surprised that he was named in the starting 11.
I was surprised. I kind of thought there's a chance he's going to do something absolutely obscene, which didn't really come. However, I think later on in the game, had he got the chance to, he maybe would have. But no, I certainly thought he was going to go with McDonald. I think the inclusion of Hayes certainly raised a few eyebrows, and post-match, I think Shinny as well, in hindsight, from a lot of people raising some concerns.
Yeah, how do 1% govern 99%, saying Shinny and Hayes were horrible choices, Shinny running around lost, charging into people. I think I put in our notes for this episode to give us some form of structure, which felt more like at least we've got structure, because it certainly felt like our midfield didn't yesterday, that Graham Shinny was running around a bit like a headless chicken. But certainly lots to kind of talk about in terms of the team selection. Kaiser saying that he felt Barron and Duke needed to start. We're going to come on to Conor Barron a little bit later on. The midfield three of Shinny, Clarkson, and McGrath. We've touched on Graham Shinny. I think that was one of McGrath's poorer games, I certainly felt yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't think he really quite got into the game. And for me, I think he struggled given it was two up top. And I just wonder how much of the success of that first 45 in the last meeting with Rangers at the Tawdry kind of pushed Barry Robson to go with a two up top, because we spoke about it plenty in the preview that one up top's been working for us in terms of positive performances, especially in Europe. It worked for us at Ibrox as well. I'm really disappointed he didn't stick with that kind of formation to start with yesterday.
Yeah, me too. I thought it would have been the ideal game for Dante Povara to start. For me, to be honest, him and Barron are two parts of our best midfield, and neither started, and only one of them came off the bench. I am surprised he didn't go with the 5-4-1. And even though we did have two strikers up there, I mean, the service to them non-existent, chasing lost causes a lot of the time, and to no avail really throughout the game.
Yeah, and Brendan Nicholl saying that Polvara should have started. With the performances from Thursday night, Dante Polvara in particular impressed on Thursday. We mentioned Angus McDonald continuing to impress, and I thought Conor Barron as well in that midfield alongside Dante was good as well. Were you surprised to see none of those players that did impress, kind of given the nod ahead of the game on Sunday, or was that always going to be the case that whoever was starting the game on Thursday night, you know, didn't come in to play on Sunday? You look at Jimmy McGarry as another candidate there, and you know, we're not even touching on what was a fantastic 2-0 win over Eintracht Frankfurt in this episode, because it's kind of going to get lost in the misery really after Sunday's defeat.
We can just pretend Sunday didn't happen and speak about Thursday if you want. I'm quite happy to do that.
Or we'll get Dave on for a Q&A.
Oh, yes, maybe. It was probably premeditated, the side that was going to start on Sunday and Thursday was playing as little of them as possible, essentially. And no matter how much they impressed, unless they had a 10 out of a 10 game and, you know, someone giving them to go to hat-trick, I doubt they would have been in the team come Sunday.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think, you know, again, Brenda saying the likes of Polvara, McDonald and Baring must be wondering what more they have to do to get into the team, the musical box, saying that Baring would have given us energy in midfield. And look, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but it was almost that persistence from Barry Robson to just persist with what really felt negative tactics. And, well, the resident Rangers fan that tunes into these episodes, I'm sure he's probably enjoying the misery. Jimmy Duff saying, in response to a comment that Kaiser had put in, that Robson was playing for penalties right from the start. And, look, I'm not going to get away from the fact that at halftime I was kind of happy with the fact that we were, you know, still in the game. And I think, you know, we were set up to frustrate Rangers in that first 45. And if that was the tactics for the first 45, we got it spot on. There's no getting away from that. But the fact that we continued it in the second half with no kind of inkling to try and take the game to Rangers at any point meant that as soon as we conceded, we were absolutely fucked, because Rangers knew that they could then sit in and pick us off on the counter-attack. I saw no intent from us to look to try and win that at least in 90 minutes. And as Jimmy says, it was almost like we were just seeing if we could take that to penalties yesterday.
Yeah, I do tend to agree. I mean, it was incredibly poor. There looked like there was no real intent, and you know, after the goal especially, although I kept saying one chance all we need, or one chance is all it takes. Well, in the previous 70 minutes or whatever, by that point we hadn't really had one, so I wasn't really very hopeful that was going to change. I felt like Shane Morris even was taken on too late. He seemed to cause problems down the right. And once he came on, I guess he's another one. I know he's just back from injury, but if he's not going to begin starting games, he's another one that's got to question what he's got to do to get into the side.
Yeah, and obviously you're mentioning kind of the width that the wingers, the likes of Shane Morris, can provide. When we're starting Johnny Hayes in a cup final, which kind of became evident after seeing the starting lineup against Eintracht Frankfurt, he was on a like kind of win to nothing when you're up against James Tavernier, who's going to bomb up and down that wing for 90 minutes. Mm. And Johnny was breathing out his arse come about 60 because he had no support from any form of winger on that left-hand side of our team. And Rangers really kind of exploited that as the more the game went on, obviously forced into that change just after the hour mark, Jimmy McGarry coming on for him. But again, throws that question mark. We spoke about it almost as soon as McKenzie was sent off after the Hibs game, that this was going to be the final for Jimmy McGarry, that pace that he can provide bombing up and down. Johnny Hayes can't provide that. He's lost that yard of pace, but Barry Robson stuck with the maybe experience, I guess.
Possibly, but I suppose that's the other thing about playing with these wing backs is you're relying on the midfield being able to help out wide, but it wasn't just Tavernier to deal with as well. It was that Lee McCausland as well, who annoyingly looks like a decent enough player too. You know, you're hiding to nothing at that point, aren't you? And likewise when McGarry came on as well.
Yeah, although obviously I know we're gonna come on to the goal and we're speaking about some of these players that could have started, but both Dante and Jimmy McGarry could have probably done better for the goal. Both don't really cover themselves in glory, but I think us as a team don't cover ourselves in glory. But like I said, in terms of that first half, I thought we acquitted ourselves well. I saw earlier on Twitter Martin Stone kind of coming up with a obvious solution to the Hayes Shinney conundrum, as he called it, saying move Shinney into left back and put Baron in the centre of midfield for Hayes. And if Shinney really wants to put the team in kind of ahead of his own personal gain, then he would admit he's kind of not got the legs to be playing in midfield regularly. And I think, again, a lot of us have kind of touched on that with a kind of heavy load of games. I know he didn't play against Frankfurt on Thursday, but he really struggles with the kind of amount of games we've been playing recently. And obviously we've got Livingston on Wednesday and then a trip to Dens Park at the weekend. How many of those games will we see Graham Shinney starting in? And we did, well, certainly I thought, I saw it discussed online, was after the performances of both Barron and Polvara, was there a case for not almost starting our captain in the cup final? But it was never going to happen, was it?
No, it was never going to happen. However, yeah, I do think those two contribute to potentially our best midfield. I also, I suppose, you know, there has been a lot of talk about Shinney struggling to do what he does. And when he does do it, he does it well. But twice a week, basically every week, it's going to be difficult. And I suppose it sort of shines light again on the lack of Ramadani replacement, I guess, as well. Because Ramadani carried a lot of that load, a lot of energy in the middle of the park, sort of as that ball winner buzzing about as well. And if we had someone of that ilk who could perhaps take some of the load off Shinney a lot of the time, then we'd probably be in a better spot, both in the league and perhaps even in the cup final as well. Maybe in Europe too.
But this is why I don't understand the midfield that you went with yesterday, because with Graham Shinney kind of struggling in that midfield, and you're mentioning the, you know, missing Ramadani or someone, the workload to be taken off him, Clarkson isn't a sitting midfielder. That doesn't suit his style. He would rather go forward. We're asking him to play a game that doesn't suit his style. So him and McGrath, for me, don't work alongside Graham Shinney. You either play one of Clarkson and McGrath alongside Shinney and then one of Barron and Polvara. I don't think the three that we started with on Sunday works in general. And I'm not just saying that on the back of losing yesterday. I think we've seen it across a few games this season when that's been our midfield three. It doesn't, certainly in games that we're kind of struggling to break teams down, it's quite apparent until we change that midfield.
Yeah, I think they're too similar, I guess. They're both creative midfielders who look to make things happen, in McGrath and Clarkson. And I just think the balance is sort of all wrong when it's those two and Graham Shinney. I 100% agree. And I think even prior to January and potentially getting a Ramadani replacement finally in, the balance of the midfield needs to be looked at. And that includes playing at least one of Barron or Polvara, you'd think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The first half was kind of few and far chances for Aberdeen, although in saying that, there was hardly any fucking chances for us yesterday. No shots on target in a final is an absolute disgrace. I was more surprised to see the fact that we'd actually had 10 shots on goal, because I think I remember about two opportunities that we had from the game yesterday. There was one talking point, but I think that was more kind of talked about for those that weren't at the game, because it was pretty difficult to see the incident at the time, was the shirt pull on Stefan Gartenman from Todd Cantwell. Stefan not throwing himself to the ground in the manner that Conor Goldson did at Pataudry a few weeks ago. Look, I don't think it's a penalty. I still maintain I don't think the one that they got at Pataudry is a penalty either. But consistency is all we ask for in Scottish football. But I suppose we're seeing it, because the only two times I've seen that decision awarded this season both been for a certain team from Glasgow.
Yes, I agree that it's not a penalty, but I don't think the Goldson one is either. After seeing it back on social media, you just think, well, he's too honest there, essentially. And if he does throw himself down, knowing our luck, he'd have got booked for diving. I've no doubt. But I suppose if he tried it, then you know, maybe you get 1 in 10 rather than 0 in 10 without throwing yourself down.
Yeah, and it was just one of them that you see it back and you, well, it's never a penalty, but you put the two incidents together and say spot the difference, and well, everyone in Scottish football knows what the difference was. But how did you feel at halftime, Callum? As I said, you know, I wasn't angry at halftime. You know, there certainly seemed to be kind of a mixed emotions that we weren't taking the game to Rangers enough, but I was happy enough that we were in the game. I was speaking to the former guest of the show, Jack Grimmer, at halftime as well. And he said the same, you know, we were doing our job defensively, but would maybe like to see us take the game to Rangers more in the second half. But well, we didn't do that. But what was your kind of view at halftime? Were you frustrated at the way we'd set up, or?
I was content, to be honest. I thought, you know, perhaps the longer we stay in it, then perhaps we can, you know, play on their tiredness, which we didn't do in the second half. All of this was with the thought in mind that, you know, things are going to get better in the second half, so it'll be fine. I thought the game lacking quality, and perhaps it would have only taken one piece of quality to win it. You'd just hoped it was for us rather than them. Unfortunately, it wasn't. But I was content with the way things were going. The fact we were still in it at that point, when we knew it was going to be cagey, we knew it was going to be tough, and then perhaps we could prey on their tired legs, I'd have been happy. But in hindsight, it was shite, wasn't it, throughout, to be honest.
Yeah, and to be honest, I was also getting frustrated at pretty much every 50-50. It didn't seem to be kind of going our way in that first half, and it kind of continued into the second half as well. And as Paul Riki said, you know, the ref was so bad, it was shocking. I mean, none of us are even surprised as soon as we saw the officials that were being lined up, including Dallas on VAR. You knew there was going to be a sense of injustice coming that way. And look, I don't want to sound like we're making excuses for it, because look, at the end of the day, we were fucking terrible. But I think Paul makes a good point, and I think it's right that we acknowledge it as well, about how good the fans were yesterday. Because when I was watching the goal back, just to kind of refresh my memory of how bad a mistake it was, the first thing you kind of hear in the replay is the Aberdeen end chanting "Stand Free." You don't hear the Rangers fans celebrating at all. I know Hampden gets a lot of criticism for what the atmosphere is like and that, but I certainly thought the Aberdeen end in particular yesterday was loud. And what also impressed me was how well we actually backed the team. I know in games against Rangers, songs can tend to be sung that's maybe about the opposition. But I thought throughout the game yesterday was all songs encouraging the team, getting behind the players as best we could. You know, Robson asks for the fans to turn up for these games. We do it time and time again. Time and time again, though, the players and management don't deliver what we as fans have had gone down in hope and expectation. And I think for me as well, that also adds to the frustration and disappointment of the occasion yesterday.
Yeah, it does. Credit particularly to the ones in the Aberdeen end, as in behind the goal. They were absolutely excellent throughout. Just frustrating that we were let down. And on the referee as well, once again, I do agree in terms of sort of the 50-50s always sort of going in their favour. But for some reason, the thing that annoyed me the most was, like, for example, the foul where the foul was given against Duke in the box, and then they take it 3-4 yards outside the box. And it's just little things like that, little gains that they just kept getting away with. And like the one at the end where, instead of it being in the 6-yard box, it's right on the edge of the 18-yard box that he takes it. And they just do nothing to stop things like that. But I suppose we don't expect anything different at this time, these kind of games, sorry. And we can't blame the referee. We didn't have a shot on target. But there was a few instances where you thought things perhaps could have gone the other way. And of course, they did not.
Oh, exactly. I mean, as soon as Celtic lost on Saturday as well, it played into the media being able to hype up a title race, and now they can hype up the talk of a treble on the back of that. It all plays into what the media want. And, you know, again, we can't blame the referee. We can't blame this, that, and the next thing. We didn't have any shots on target, but it always felt going into this game, it was us v them. We had our backs against the wall before a ball was even kicked. But before a ball was even kicked, I actually expected our team to test Jack Butland. And the fact that we didn't even do that, and as Martin Smith, I said it yesterday as well, you know, the fact that we never laid a glove on them, Butland was pretty much a spectator throughout. That, for me, is the biggest frustration from yesterday. And again, why I've got so much anger and frustration towards Barry Robson's post-match comments as well.
Yeah, I mean, they are a decent enough side. They are, however, clearly they weren't at their best on Sunday, perhaps due to Thursday, I don't know. And the fact they had to travel back, I suppose. But we've taken 4 points from them this season, and that performance there in a cup final where you'd expect us to be most up for it was the worst of the lot by far. which is really quite surprising. I think that maybe is what annoyed me most about Robson's post-match comments as well. The fact that we have beat them 3-1 down there. We've drawn 1-1 up here where they were, you know, got a late penalty, which is soft to bail them out. And then we go and deliver that on in the cup final when something massive's at stake. That's what sort of pisses me off the most, I suppose.
Yeah, and that's it. When something is on the line like that, a chance of silverware for the first time in 7-8 years, it's just really irks that that was the performance and level that we got. And like I said, for me, that lies at the manager's door, because I think he got a lot wrong yesterday. The lineup was questionable and the tactics even more so. And we spoke about, I can't remember what game it was when Barry was really under pressure. It must have been going into the Hearts game when we said we really need the players to kind of step up and show that they take some responsibility. I just wonder how frustrating it is for some of these players when this is the tactics that are being employed as well. Maybe they don't feel they can flourish as much as what they could.
Yeah, sort of feels like the shackles are on them a little bit. Yeah. I know we were going to be up against it at times in the cup final anyway, against Rangers, certainly, but to not have any depth on goal is a disgrace, I suppose.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Luke, as I said about kind of the first half going into the second half, I was expecting kind of us to come out a bit more and try and look to attack Rangers, but that second half very much felt identical to the second half at Pittodrie, where we were penned in for the first 15-20 minutes of that second half. It was one-way traffic. And I don't know about you, but it really kind of felt like it was only a matter of time until Rangers scored. And again, kind of around the hour mark, there was concerns why it was taking so long to make any changes, to even, you know, stem the momentum that Rangers were building, try and do something different from our point of view instead of just soaking up the more and more pressure that was being put upon our goal.
Yeah, even just slow the game down a little bit.
Yeah.
Roos pulled off some good saves from Causland, I think it was, and he just sort of threw on goal, fully expected that to hit the back of the net, and a couple from set pieces as well. But it did sort of feel like a matter of time, and unfortunately for us, it was.
It was, and look, the changes, when they were made, were you surprised at the changes? Because I have to admit, I mean, I don't know if what he was really doing in the game. He had a great chance when Mikey Devlin played in the ball, as Kaiser says, if it was Sockler Dean for the cross for Devlin.
Mikey Devlin, though, by the way.
Sorry?
You said Mikey Devlin.
Honestly, in a world of my own today. But watching that cross back, how, I don't know, what was he doing leaving that cross?
I don't have a clue. I don't know whether he thought, like, maybe he was too far past the post for it to have any real effect. If he did get a touch, or maybe then left it for someone arriving. But probably our best chance of the game, you maybe say. It was an excellent ball across from Nicky Devlin, but I wasn't really surprised when Sockler did go off, because he was on a booking, which I didn't actually realise until someone pointed it out to me. And then not long into the second half, just went kind of charging into Goldson. I think it was, or Balogun, one of the two, clearing the ball. So I wasn't surprised, and you just hoped that Duke could come on and have an impact. And I suppose Jimmy McGarry coming on as well wasn't really a surprise at that stage. However, even another thing was when they were getting told they were going on, Robson was fuming at them because they were taking too long to get ready.
And didn't notice that. But look, McGrath, he really, really grafts, but he kind of was lacking in that ability yesterday in trying to link up the play with the front two. And it was a real surprise probably to see him taken off for Dante Polvara. Were you surprised that Conor Barron didn't get any involvement yesterday?
How many shots did he have to buy then? How many shots?
It was that or 20 quid.
Right, fair enough. He didn't tell me. Brilliant stuff. I kind of forgot about it until you said it there. This would make no sense for anyone else. So McGrath, Reed Graffs went off for Danny Polvara, and then, in fairness, Polvara didn't really impact the game perhaps in the way you would have hoped. It is interesting that he did go with him over Barron. You maybe felt perhaps a bit of a Barron's energy. Maybe he carries that a little bit more over Polvara. I don't know. And just in terms of being able to buzz about, perhaps he could have turned to him. The fact Barron didn't come on at all, though, is very, very poor, in my opinion. And it just does beg the question about what the hell's going on with that contract situation. And is that rearing its ugly head again? And we all heard the rumours going into the cup final, which I'm hoping is just the fact we're going into a cup final against Rangers.
I do wonder, though, how much, again, though, you know, obviously plays on Thursday against Frankfurt and then doesn't get involved at all in the cup final. Is there anything in that, do you think, the fact that he's not playing in these games because of the contract, or is that just easy for us as fans to say and put two and two together and come away with five?
I can't think of any other reason why he wouldn't be playing, because when he does play, he plays well, and he's been, I think I said it previously, arguably one of our, maybe after McGrath, best players season after Miofsky, in my opinion anyway. So perhaps that is the thing. And then with the changing of agencies and then the rumours going into the cup final that he is signing a pre-contract agreement with Rangers, or has done, which I really, really do hope is rumours, but perhaps that is why. In fact, look, if you're not committed, then, you know, we're not going to give you as much playing time as perhaps your performances deserve, which I guess understandable, but how it's got to this stage where it's about, well, it's 6 months now until it expires. I don't really know.
Yeah. And I suppose the kind of biggest question about when we played both McGrath and Clarkson in the midfield for that long is why we persisted on playing long balls missing out the midfield, as we tend to do with Leighton Clarkson in our team, just punt the ball over his head. But we've got those players who are technically able with the ball at their feet, and we didn't utilise that yesterday. We've seen Jamie McGrath in some of the big games, how good he can be in terms of driving at defences and taking them on, keeping the ball in close control. We just didn't see that at all yesterday. And again, for me, huge frustration that a tactic worked to get a goal at Pittodrie. We just thought, well, let's just keep trying and pumping the long balls to Balogun and Goldson. And unfortunately, yesterday, they were eating and drinking every single one of them. We didn't get the success that we had at Pittodrie.
Yeah, it was far, far too easy for them. A lot of time, and a couple occasions I can think of where McGrath did get the ball down and try and drive at them, but then it was simply crowded out and had no option surrounding whatsoever, which again, just very, very frustrating. Nobody's getting across to support him, offer him an out ball. I suppose that sort of sums up our performance when one player was trying to make something happen. Unfortunately, nobody else was on the same wavelength.
Yeah, and look, we kind of felt that the goal was coming throughout the second half. As we mentioned, we had that one chance flashing across the face of the Rangers goal, but the goal itself that we do concede in a game that was just absolutely terrible to watch, it was quite fitting that it was an absolutely terrible goal that wins the game. But from an Aberdeen point of view, it's terrible. It's us that concede it. For me, Polvara is too weak in terms of preventing the cross. It's a poor attempt at trying to tackle whoever it was, Barisic.
Barisic, yeah.
Kind of half-heartedly tackles him, but Barisic goes to win the ball and keep it in play, whereas Dante thinks he's done the job and just kind of dawdling. I don't know why McGarry thinks he needs to go to the ball and leave Tavernier unmarked. So you've got McGarry and Jensen going for the same ball. Tavernier, in fairness to him, is clever in terms of hitting the ball into the ground on obviously what was a very slick and wet surface given the weather yesterday. But I also don't understand what Ruby's doing. Kind of goes to clear it, kind of doesn't. And then Kel Roos, maybe put off by what Ruby's doing, but it's not good it's not a good look for a goal for Kyle Roos to concede either.
No, I've really tried to watch it back minimal times. I remember, Barisic was, he got so much time to get the ball across. Povara nowhere near him, which is very, very frustrating. As Jay Moore says, Devon doesn't even attempt to stop a cross either. I've honestly not watched the back enough to even pick that up. Just too painful. But I saw people pointing out McGarry on Twitter, and it seems to be that he decided to go and help, was it Jensen, deal with Dessers rather than focusing on Tavernier, who's arguably a bigger goal threat than Dessers anyway. In fact, not really arguably. I'm sure the stats would show that absolutely. And I did think Roos could do better. I hadn't really considered the fact that perhaps Ruby was off-putting, but it's probably a good point. But all round, just if even one of those players does their job correct, then that goal probably doesn't happen. I mean, it probably would have come later on anyway, with the way things were going. But it just sort of summed it up, really, didn't it? And it's such a poor goal to concede in such a poor, poor game. In fact, someone summed it up perfectly on Twitter. I think it was Gus Taws, I believe. He said, a shit game between two shit teams settled by a shit goal, not helped by a shit ref. And I think that sums up the cup final perfectly.
And we could have saved us about 35 minutes of speaking there. We could have just done that and then moved on to Wednesday's game against Livingston. But as I said, the way we were set up, as soon as we conceded that goal, for me, I was just like, well, we've lost that game. I really didn't see how we were getting back in into the game, but we tried our best, and our best was punt the ball to Duke and hope that he can run at the Rangers defence and win something. He wins a free kick on the edge of the box. I can't remember who it was that takes him down. There was chat in our group chat last night about whether or not he could have stayed on his feet and maybe continue to try and get that ball and drive into the box, or, you know, kind of goes down a bit too soon after feeling the contact. What was your thoughts on that?
I don't think he could have done much. I thought he was actually wiped out, but I was still surprised that he did get it, given I think he got the previous two, maybe even more. But yeah, and then the ball that was put into the box was very poor as well, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was. And then the only other, obviously, kind of real chance that we had in the 14, 20 minutes, given the amount of injury time we had, was, of course, right at the death. To be honest, it was pretty poor. Corner comes in towards the near post. McGarry misses it. Duke controls it and goes to spin and put the ball in the net. And I don't know, the more I watch it, the more I sometimes think he's already going down.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's certainly taken down a lot quicker by the fact that Jack Butland flies through the back of him as well. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, anywhere else on that pitch, it's probably a free kick. Certainly if it's up the other end, it's probably a penalty. But, again, we can't really be clutching on to these sort of decisions, can we?
I suppose not. As mentioned a lot of times, we didn't have a shot on target throughout the game. Normally the way things are going, I would have had faith that we'd have found the back of the net from the penalty, to be fair. But yeah, I agree that the more that I watch it, it does look like he's already going down. However, Butland does take out his only standing leg. He does. And I've no doubt that up the other end, that's a penalty. I think it should have been a penalty. At the time, couldn't really see what the hell was going on in amongst all of it. But having seen it back, they definitely should have caught that and checked it by VAR. But my understanding is that they didn't even look at it. Only the red card incidents, which is a surprise even then. I'm not really sure who the red card being checked was even for. So the communication was excellent.
Yeah, because we were speaking about this at work today, and there was, you know, some thought that the red card was possibly for Leon Balogun, because there was him and I think it's Barisic that throw Duke into the net, because Balogun, for I'm not sure why even, he was so wound up at Duke, you know, over him shouting in his face, and Bojan and Ruby, like the mad Balkans they are, straight in to defend their teammate, and both of them get booked as a result as well, although the way Ruby was wound up, I really thought he was going to lose his head in that moment and lay somebody clean out, which, well, some will say would have topped off the day, but would have probably summed up just how quickly we'd have collapsed yesterday if that had happened.
But I did enjoy the fact he went steaming it earlier for block. Yeah. I don't know how they managed to get away. I think Roos, maybe the only man big enough to prevent him doing something really silly. However, I did like the fact he wanted to go in there and, you know, show them or tell them what for. And I like that he got a bit of recognition from the crowd as well afterwards. But it was just absolute chaos. I think maybe one of them was shouting at them and then one of them tried to help him up and he like sort of flung them into the net whilst he was being pushed himself. Duke, that is an absolute carnage. And it about summed up the game that was maybe the most exciting part.
Yeah. Right. On to the part that when you lose a cup final, let alone lose a cup final to Rangers, you really don't want your manager to come out and say something that will really trigger the fan base. But Barry Robson, hold my beer. And you really think we would have a director that kind of works in PR or could maybe kind of help these things, or whether it's maybe a bit of naivety on Barry's part and getting caught up in the whole defeat from the cup final. But Barry Robson coming out, and it's the clip obviously that was kind of publicised from PLZ Soccer, where Barry Robson says, "We have no right as Aberdeen to come down here and run the whole game." Now, I know you've touched on that part already. That's a proper team we're playing against, referring to Rangers. Going on to say about how they beat Real Betis away, "I couldn't give a shiny shite, Barry. We had a go and were frustrated for the fans. We couldn't get the ball over the line. If we want to have the ball over the line, we need to at least get the ball on fucking target as well." What was your thoughts, Callum?
I didn't listen to it immediately after the game, but when it came out, because I thought they were just annoying me so much more. So I think I'm less annoyed based on the fact I didn't do it immediately and it didn't wind me up at that point. I was too busy listening to Christmas songs on the way up the road. That cheered me up a little bit. But you can just imagine like the press officer just like, you know, at the back of the room, just with head in hands, just thinking, "Oh God, I wish he'd shut up sometimes." And in terms of PLZ Soccer, that's the absolute dream little clip for them, isn't it? Just giving them exactly what they want. But I agree. We don't have a right to go down there, and dominate the game or whatever it was he said. We don't, but we do have the right to have some fucking shots on target. Also, don't understand bringing up Real Betis side. People know they're a good enough team. They're decent, but on the cup final day, they weren't very good, and we were just even worse. They deserved it. We didn't, and I just don't understand what bringing up, you know, "Oh, we got a good result and bigging them up is going to do." And like we said, you know, we've already taken 4 points for them in the league this season, including winning in Glasgow 3-1 at their place. So, I don't know. Very, very bizarre. And I just don't know. He's not doing himself any favours, is he?
He's not. And, you know, Skokesker, probably the only person that's remained positive and behind Barry Robson in recent weeks. I saw his tweet to us earlier, maybe finally broken. He said that was the worst presser since Mark McGee said he'd have preferred the Celtic job when he first got the Aberdeen job. And Kaiser saying he's known as a shite speaker, and whether, you know, a lot of kind of contrast between his press conferences and the way Gordon Strachan spoke to the media. I don't know if he's trying to think he's being funny, but there's a time and a place, and that's certainly not the time or the place. And Scott McLennan saying that he should have been sacked for that interview alone, and it's certainly riled a lot of people up. And John Smith even saying, you know, disgusting defeatist interview to go with a defeatist disgusting team selection. And I didn't listen to it straight away. I waited until I got home to actually listen to it word for word, but it really did wind me up. And again, it goes back to, we spoke about this on the back of the defeat to Kilmarnock, where I spoke about the Terrace podcast calling Barry Robson one of the most negative managers in the Premiership, if not the most negative manager in the Premiership. And that kept ringing in my head yesterday. on the bus on the way up the road about how we were set up, how we took the game to Rangers. Probably put that in inverted commas if you want as well, because we didn't really take the game to Rangers. What was Barry Robson's intention yesterday? Was it, let's try and win that game on penalties? Because I saw no intent from that team. And again, I'm not putting that necessarily on the players, because I'm sure a lot of the players would have wanted to win the trophy. They certainly tell you in the press they want to win the trophy. Mm-hmm. How much did Barry believe his players could? Because, you know, Jay Moyer says, the one on the Red TV interview, he said, that's Glasgow Rangers we're playing. Shouldn't matter who we're playing in a final. Those players, that management team, should be up for it. As I've said, the rallying call to the fans, you know, it keeps going on about we've shown the backing all season to the players and how much it means to the team and the players. And I saw someone as well, you know, say on Twitter earlier about, where's the Barry Robson from January, February, speaking about the pride to play for Aberdeen? This is Aberdeen Football Club you're playing for. You should know how much it means to play for it. Was that just the flashy words to get the job in the first place? Why is this suddenly negative mentality creeping in that, oh, it's Glasgow Rangers we're playing. Oh, let's hold back here. We've played Rangers twice this season. And for me, in three of the four halves of football, we've been the better side. We haven't lost to Rangers this season up until yesterday as well. Why all of a sudden in a cup final are we scared of them? I don't get it at all.
Going, oh, that's Glasgow Rangers we're playing. Okay, they're a better side than us on based on league, on the league table. They're not world beaters. They've been relatively mediocre. Okay, they've improved since Philippe Clement came in. Okay, they've done well in Europe, but they aren't, you know, they're nothing particularly special. And I don't know if you know, he's protecting his players in terms of coming out and saying it like that, rather than, you know, being critical of them, and in doing so, essentially just throwing himself underneath a moving bus, it would seem. But as Skolskar mentioned, we punt them on their ground. Why should we not expect to boss them around? Yeah, I've said it. We've taken 4 points from them in the league this season. That shows that they're not world beaters, because we've been really shit this season. Yeah. And we've done that. Why not even try it on Sunday? And we didn't have a go, as he said. We didn't. We simply didn't. There was no quality really in that game from our side of things. And the one time we did, it was a decent ball across the box and one player jumping out of the way and nobody else arriving. So,
and the thing is as well, on the European stage, we've been one of only 24 teams, I think, this season in the group stages to score in every group game that we took part in. So we can raise our game on the European level to go and score in these big games, these big occasions. Why on the biggest occasion of our season so far, we can't even muster a shot on target? I don't get it. You know, a lot's been made about Jack Butland and what he's made to Rangers. We scored past him in both previous occasions as well. Couldn't even make him work on Sunday. Just utterly unbelievable. But for Barry, with the straightest of faces, to say that those players had a go and we got every ounce of those players, I mean, I don't know if he thinks we're mugs. I really don't. I mean, I wonder how much he's going to hang on to the effort we put in the cup final as much as he hangs on to how many shots we've had against Harkin. Because I tell you, these press conferences, like they did with Jim Goodwin, are going to be also what turns the fans against him.
Yeah, making a rod for his own back, really, with comments like that after the game. It's just, I don't know. It's just sad to see that sort of defeatist attitude. And his comments afterwards do sort of just back up the fact that we weren't really trying to win that game. It seems we were trying to hold on for as long as possible and hope we can get one chance and nick it. Jack Butland has been good since since coming in, whatever. We scored 4 goals past in this season. We didn't even have 4 shots on target, let alone one. Didn't have 4 shots on target, let alone get one past him. We didn't even have a shot on target. So what chance have you got when that kind of things happen? Also, at that point, see if it gets to sort of an hour, 70 minutes, 10 minutes to go, just have a fucking pop from wherever. At that point, you never know what's going to happen, and there wasn't even much of that. The only really one I remember was McGrath absolutely leathering the ball over the bar with like a sort of a volley.
And the thing is as well, even if after the hour mark, you know, we did, you know, release the reins and actually had a go and we got beat, I could have come away and accepted it to an extent, the fact that we died trying. But the fact that we died with barely a whimper on a cup final against that lot is just unacceptable. And as Scopes says, his comment broke me. We can't have that negativity in charge of for the rest of the season. And Jason Campbell saying he isn't stupid, but he thinks we are. And I feel in the last two managers have kind of treated the fans as stupid. But we're not as stupid as we look. Well, maybe. Some people certainly think we are as stupid as we look.
And they'd be correct.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Graham Ray said at the top of the show, sorry it's taken so long to get round to your comment, Graham, that there was no tactics whatsoever. We must get 9 points out of the next 12 or Barry must go. I mean, some folk will say we need to get 12 out of 12 coming up. Livingston is the next game at Pittodrie. A reaction is expected. I put in our notes, it's a must win for both sides. How important is it to get a reaction on the back of that defeat yesterday?
Vital. Could you imagine us losing what it's going to be like at full time after those comments, after that performance in the cup final, after recent league form, Hearts game aside, if we don't beat Livingston, not even if we lose, if we don't beat Livingston, they're poor this season. In recent seasons, they've been a real problem for a lot of sides. They don't seem to be quite at that level this season at all. And it's at Pittodrie. We're lucky that the three of these next 4 games before the new year are at Pittodrie, because then we've got a decent chance at least 9 points. You would hope. I'm hoping for 12. Really, if we need to be, if we're wanting to be where we all want to be come the end of the season, we need to be winning. Well, include the Ross County game, to be honest, in the start of the new year. We need to be winning these games. Of course, we've got no divine right to, and certainly the likes of St Mirren and Dundee will be tough tests. But we should have enough about us, and just hoping that we will see more of that Hearts second half. Really, not even the first half, not even the full 90. We're clinging on to that 45 minutes in these games. And you'd like to think if we do perform like that, if we do show that fight and that spirit, that doggedness that we showed in that second half, then we will come out on top more often than not. And absolutely, Barry needs it at this stage.
But Brenda Nicol makes a really interesting point, because I kind of put in the notes as well about what changes you expect and what sort of reaction you expect. We'll come on to the kind of changes in a second, because in terms of the reaction we expect on the back of Sunday, I'm sure tomorrow when it comes to the press conference, both Barry and the player nominated for press will tell them all how disappointed they were, how much they know they let the fans down, how much they know they need to make it up to the fans, yada, yada, yada. We've heard it all before. But how much do you think Barry's comments post-match, that obviously we've discussed on this show, Brenda says the comments he made is hardly going to motivate the players or help morale after that defeat. Do you think there's much in that from what Brenda's saying?
I certainly don't think it'll help, really. I guess it maybe, you know, it shirked them away from some criticism, perhaps from the media, at least after the game, in terms of I don't know, just trying to fool people into thinking it was a good performance or a decent performance anyway. But I don't know, it won't help. And in terms of the crowd anyway, they're going to be expecting a proper reaction. And if we don't get that in the first sort of 20 minutes, you can imagine things are going to be a bit sour again as well.
Well, you know, as you said, you know, he's making a rod for his own back, and those comments certainly are not going to help a fan base that's hurting, and it's put that additional pressure onto him going into a game that we've labelled certainly as a must win. And when you look at Livingston's form coming into this game, you know, they've only scored once in their last seven games. The draw on Saturday against Kilmarnock, Bruce Anderson even missed a penalty in that game. That ended a run of seven defeats. I mean, I'm really not selling this game very well. It's going to be an absolutely terrible game to watch, I'm sure. And, you know, as the comment here saying, reaction, Hoofball Barry probably will start seven defenders. You said before we came live on the show tonight that Wednesday's the ideal opportunity to move away from the back five, or, well, you'd certainly make some changes to that back five if he persists with it. He's going to persist with it, though, isn't he?
He is going to persist with it. Well, no doubt we'll start with the five back when we're at home to Livingston, who, as you say, have been very, very poor. There is no need to do such a thing. If it is the five, although Nicky Devlin has been very, very good, perhaps even if he slots into right-sided centre-back, I would like to see Morris as the wing-back so we actually have that wing part of wing-back covered. I know he's not fantastic defensively, but he is direct. He can make things happen. I know sometimes his final ball's not excellent, but he's not going to improve without the chance. And I think he has shown in flashes since returning back from injury that, you know, he is the kind of player that can make things happen. I'd like to see James McGarry as well. I think likewise, I suppose, on that left-hand side, probably the best attacking threat we've got. So we are going to persist with that, at least, you know, have some sort of that wing of wing-back covered in terms of them. But even then, it just limits ourselves having five at the back. There's a lack of width. I think perhaps McGarry and Morris would maybe help that somewhat. But there's just no need to be limiting ourselves, is there, with three centre-halves?
No, and, you know, you mentioned width there. Kaiser calling for a 4-3-3 and using width. How do 1% govern 99? 4-4-2 with Duke and Morris on the wings. For me, the biggest kind of interest I have is that midfield, because I really don't feel that the midfield worked on Sunday. Does Connor Barron make his way back into this team after the weekend? And if he doesn't, that speculation around his future is going to keep on ticking and it's going to keep on building. But I also think there's going to be a lot of pressure on the likes of Graham Shinney after the spotlight's kind of been shone on him in recent weeks. But look, we're at home to a side that's struggled to score, struggled to win in recent weeks, or recent months, I should really say. Sorry, Ewan and the Talk Livy boys, if you're tuning into this part of the show. This is the ideal opportunity to go out and play with a bit of freedom and take the game to Livingston and try and get that early goal and maybe ease any kind of nerves or tension that may be lurking in the stands come kickoff.
Yeah. Without being harsh, if you could handpick a game, Livingston at home is a pretty good opportunity to bounce back. And I think we need that not only in result, in terms of performance. I think we need to see something that things are going to get a little bit better in this. And I don't know what the crowd's going to be like, if we're honest, after that on Sunday, in recent times, and just the fact it's come up to Christmas as well.
Paul Donaldson already mentioning the fact that, you know, he's not coming up for the game, you know, so close to Christmas as well, probably maybe still a bit of a hangover from yesterday. It's a tough ask, certainly for those maybe not based in and around the Northeast with all the travelling that's been done.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a spectacle, but I just hope that, you know, by playing with more intent and more directness and less of just passing it around the back and then lobbing it forward to whatever forwards Barry selects, which, by the way, would just be absolute meat and drink for Livingston. So even think about that, or this long throw nonsense as well, then we're just not going to have any success, are we? A win and a good result with the run of games that we've got, especially, as I said, with, you know, three of the next four being at home, could perhaps show signs of encouragement to the fans and could also go a long way in helping our position, our poor position in the league table.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as you've said, the fact that three of the four games are at Pittodrie should help us. I'm kind of under no illusion that the game at the weekend against a Dundee side that have done really well so far this season will be a tough encounter, and I'm sure it will be a well-attended game, given kind of the form of Dundee going into this game and obviously being a game so close to Christmas as well. But it, obviously, one game at a time, to sound like the old football cliche. You can't help but feel, obviously, Livingston, as I've said, not coming into the game in the best run of form, pretty much a big understatement. I feel they're going to kind of sit in and look to frustrate us in that opening 20 minutes. It's going to be difficult to try and break down that team if we do start with five defenders, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just limiting our chances, really. And they will absolutely sit in and frustrate us. We aren't good at breaking down teams. Like we've shown this season, previous seasons as well. God knows how many have to go back. We aren't good at breaking down teams that come up here, sit in and are very organised. At least you would expect that from a David Martindale side. And they do have players who are capable, no matter how poor they've been, of hurting us from, you know, set pieces and when they do get that chance to break, which I think they'll maybe be reluctant to early on, however, and they will just be very structured and frustrate us. But then it's important that we do have that directness, hence like Shane Morris, perhaps I'd like to see included, someone who can make something happen at pace and not just allow them to get organised and just be incredibly difficult to break down before we eventually work it out to the one player on the right-hand side and put in a terrible ball to four huge bastards just waiting to head it away.
Yeah, I think it's a good point about, you know, the likes of Shaden Morris. Could we even maybe see Ryan Duncan starting in terms of width and someone with a at least knows how to be a bit direct with the ball. But the likes of Connor Barron or McGrath in that midfield that can link a pass and move the ball quicker from kind of centre or front to back and get us up the pitch and look to get in behind Livingston, because if they are going to play those big bastards at the back, you know, they're maybe not the quickest with a turning circle. And although the way I'm speaking now just kind of alludes to long balls over the top and hoping for the best. So that gives me the fear for Wednesday night. But keep the ball on the deck, get in behind them, possible. Use the wings, please use the wings, and get an early goal, because it's going to be a long night otherwise.
Yeah, and things could start to sour if we just see more of the same old shite. And even if there's not an early goal, at least show some signs that there could be one. That would be an absolute bonus and an improvement on recent times.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But look, we'll see what Wednesday night brings. It's not been the best start to the week. It wasn't the weekend that we'd all hoped it would have been. But the pressure now really on Barry and the boys to get the league form corrected and us going up the table, because we keep speaking about Calum, you know, having these two games in hand, and everyone automatically assuming two games in hand means 6 points. Not necessarily the case. But the first of those two games in hand comes up on Wednesday night, and it would be a real momentum boost into what is this big festive period by going out and getting those 3 points.
It would be. I mean, we've got three games in hand over some sides as well. Just quickly looking at the league table, three over Hibs, Kilmarnock and St Mirren as well, who occupy fourth, fifth and sixth. So, as you say, that these games are no guarantee, but fuck me, please, please make sure they are, because we need to start improving on our league form. It's been poor. We've got Europe out of the way now, a chance to put a decent run together before the winter break. Let's just hope we bloody capitalise on it. We need it. I don't know how, if we thought this was bad or recent weeks have been bad on this podcast, if we don't win on Wednesday, oh my God, it could be a new low.
Yeah, I dread to think. And on that positive plead of desperation from Callum, it feels like the perfect place to end what's been a tragic podcast, but it has been hopefully therapeutic in some way for some. Certainly get something off the chest from the weekend, and there's certainly been a lot of you in the comments tonight getting a lot off your chest as well. So the joys of this live podcast means you can interact with this podcast. So thank you very much for doing so. Make sure if you have been watching to leave a like on the video as well. It helps spread the algorithm to more Dons fans as well, or just fans of Scottish football who like listening to more content. Same on YouTube. Remember to leave a like and a review down below. Subscribe here on YouTube or on audio. It's free to do. We don't charge anything. We never ask for money, unless it's for charity, of course. So thank you very much for your continued support of the podcast, especially through these difficult defeats, because it's an effort to sometimes come on and speak about the games. But when we know it helps a lot of you, it makes that slightly bit easier. So let's hope we've got a little bit more positivity to speak on over the festive period. Until next time, thanks very much for tuning into the show. Sports Social Podcast Network.